to Psalms 119. There's a lot of verses in this book, isn't there? Actually, Psalms probably is in the center of your Bible, so if you'll just take your Bible and turn it up on its edge and just bat in the middle, open it up, you should be right in Psalms. And then turn over to Psalms 119, beginning with verse 32, the successful Christian life. And this is going to tell us how we can be successful in our life. And it has to do with the Word of God and with prayer. They go hand in hand. They both work together. So that's what we want to look at this morning, beginning with verse 32, which says, I want you to pay real close attention to what each one of these verses say. And if it speaks to you personally, one of these verses, 32 through 45, then 54, say amen, okay? If it speaks to you, and it should speak to you, if we got our antennas on up and listening to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is going to say, that's for you. That's for you. So, let's read. Beginning with verse 32. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law, and keep it with all of my, what? Heart. There's that heart again. Amen. Okay, there, I love to hear that. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Amen. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from the looking at vanity, and revive me in your ways. Establish your word to your servant, as that which produces reverence for you. Verse 39. Turn away my reproach which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. There's this word revive again. Revive me through your righteousness. May your loving kindness, and that loving kindness in the Old Testament means, the Hebrew word for that is hesed. The Jews, the Israelites, knew what that word was all about. Hesed. When the word hesed was spoken, they knew it meant loving kindness. And we should learn that as well, loving kindness from God. May your loving kindness also come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word, so that I will have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your what? Word. And do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait for your ordinances. So I will keep your law continually, forever and ever. Amen to that. And I will walk at liberty, or that liberty means freedom. Freedom from sin. For I seek your precepts. And then verse 54. Your statutes are my songs. We've been singing this morning. We've been singing songs. And Psalms is about songs. And in the house of my pilgrimage. Now, that means pilgrimage or journey. It means all of my life, all the way through my life. That's what that verse is talking about. On my pilgrimage or on my journey or throughout my life. That verse right there, verse 54, in the house of my pilgrimage. Now, that means the Word of God. That means prayer. Now, since this is about living a successful life as a Christian, The successful Christian life is not nearly as complicated as we try to make it sometimes. It's not that complicated. If only we do two things, read the Word of God and pray. Every new Christian that I talk to, those are the two things that I want to plant that seed into their mind and their heart, to read and pray. Because if we don't start out our Christian life reading the Word of God, praying to the Heavenly Father, we can get led astray very easily in our Christian walk. Because reading the Word of God, we're going to grow. We're going to mature spiritually. We start out on the milk of the Word, and then we want to go to the meat of the Word, where it really puts that nourishment within our hearts and in our lives. So my goal this morning, my goal for this message is that everyone will make a commitment or recommit to a quiet time along with the Lord 7 days this week. And then after that, the next week, and the next week, and the next week, and following that, that the Word of God is a daily diet for you, that you're feeding upon the Word of God, and that you pray. That is why we feel it so important at Vacation Bible School, at church camp, that the children be in the Word of God, memorizing Scripture, memorizing verses, memorizing the books of the Bible. Because if they're here and they go to the heart, they will be there, and God will use that to help you throughout your life. And if the Word of God is not in the heart and in our mind, then when times come, troublesome times, hardships, or difficulties come, and we need a way of an escape, or we need something from God that's going to give us comfort and peace and understanding what direction we should go, right, left. But He wants us right down the center of His will. Reading and studying and praying the Word of God is the way to do it. So this morning, if you would do that, if you would do these two things, read the Word of God and pray, you will receive three key blessings to a quiet time with God. And first is, you will receive joy. We sing a song, don't we? There's joy, 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 joy in my heart. And we need to sing that more often. If you sing that every morning, that'll remind you to get into the Word of God. So, there's a big difference between joy and happiness. How many of you are happy? Well, not many of you. How many of you are joyous? Okay. So, to try to have a distinction between happiness and joy, did you know that happiness is external, where joy is internal? And see, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you have something internal. That's how God works from the inside out. And then the happiness on the outside is going to be apparent, because when people see you, they're going to say, hey, that person's been with the Lord. Just like the disciples, when the people saw them, they said, they're uneducated, they don't know a whole lot. But there's something different about their countenance upon their face. They've been with the Lord. And that's what the Acts chapter 4 says. They have been with the Lord. And see, that's how you can be with the Lord. When you get into the Word of God, see, the Holy Spirit's going to take control of that situation, your time along with God, and begin to teach you things that you can't even imagine or even thought of on your own, because we can't on our own, because it takes the Holy Spirit to bring it to our mind and our heart as we read the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will interpret the Scriptures for you, and it will be just for you, because you're spending that time along with the Lord, Jesus Christ. And then you close that time, or you start your time with prayer and say, help me with my Bible study, my reading and understanding of your word. Then once you read for 10 or 15 minutes and study. And matter of fact, let me tell you this. This past week I had someone come to me and they wanted to get into a Bible study. They're not a part of this church. They're at another church and they're wanting to grow in the Lord. And they came to me and I talked to them and prayed with them and so forth. I give this person a reading plan for the New Testament. I wanted to get them started in the New Testament. They're being saved 2 years and they haven't got into the Word or studied it, but this plan will take you through the New Testament in 92 days. 92 days. That's pretty fast. But you know what's good about that? You can start all over again and go another 92 days and learn even more, because you can't learn it the first time you read it. Can you, Ran? You can't do it. You got to keep reading and studying the Word of God. You can read this Bible or be on that plan 100 times and you read it 101 times and you'll get some more. That's the way it is. You know, I've been studying this. How old am I? Ever since I was knee high to a grasshopper. That's about how long, because that's the way I was brought up in church. And, you know, I still don't know it all. I'm still growing in the Word. But I love studying the Word of God. I love being in the Word of God. I love being able to teach and share the Word of God to everyone, because it helps us grow in Him. Now, in Psalms 119:54, I read that a while ago, but let's look at that verse again. Your statutes have been my songs. Songs. So you go about each day, you're singing about the Word of God. You're singing about what the joy that is in your heart, not the happiness. What did I say happiness is? It's external. And what are the external things of life? It's all these material things that, you know, the world wants to offer you. And, you know, you go by it and you think, oh, it's pretty, it's good, I like it, and everything. And in a week's time, what are you doing with it? It's the old stuff, right? And you're ready to go get something else new. And you just keep on and keep on and so forth. It's nice to have nice things, but the happiness is external, and joy is the internal things that gives you the peace and all the things that the blessings that's what I want to say, the blessings that God wants you to receive, knowing Him personally, being in the Word of God, and praying and communicating with Him. So, your statutes have been my songs. Now, songs is a metaphor for what? Joy. Songs. So, when we sing songs, somebody say, okay, we're going to sing a song. You say, joy. So, that's what it means. It's a metaphor for songs. Reminds me of Ron Downing when I was in seminary. I had to take this class, and I had to write up this paper and everything, and I had to implement it within the church and everything. And the group, there was a group of five that I had to work with in my church with this program and so forth. And I took them to seminary one day, and we was all sitting in this big room, and we had to share it and everything. And the teacher that day was using metaphors, one right after another. I looked over at Ron and Downing, and he had this look on his face. And I said, Ron, do you know what a metaphor is? He said, no, I've never met her before in my life. And he thought I was talking about the teacher. But it's a metaphor for joy. And when you look at that. So happiness is external. Joy is internal. Even in the eye of the storms of your life. You think about that. Okay? So, Psalms 154. Well, I went on there, didn't I? But your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Now, and what brought about the joy, what brings about the joy in tough times and circumstances? The scripture says there in 54, your statutes. See, in the written word, we find the living word, Jesus is joy. Okay? And if we have Jesus, you can have joy. You don't have to have anything else if you have Jesus. Now, the word of God is, I say, it's go city. It's go city. When you don't feel like praying, what do you do? When you don't feel like praying, what do? You pray. Okay? It's just that simple. If you don't feel like reading the Word of God, what do? You read it anyway. And if you don't feel like praying, if you don't read it, you don't feel like reading the Word of God, that's when you need it the worst. And when you don't feel like coming to church, what do? You come anyway, because coming to church is when you need it most. I'm serious. Do I look serious? I'm serious. I hear so many say, well, I don't feel good today. I got a headache, or I'm doing this, I'm doing that. So I'm just going to stay home today. Well, you know what? If you do that, it's going to be the worst day of your life. If you don't pray, you don't read the Word of God, don't come to church, it's going to be a bad way to start your day or your week. And I don't want to start my week any other way. Do you? I don't. Because it messes things up. So reading the Bible, serving the Lord, if there is no conviction, I want you to hear this. If there is no conviction when it comes to praying and studying the Word of God, guess what? There's no action. There's got to be conviction in your heart. Yes, I need this. Yes, Lord, I'm going to commit. Oh, I'm going to recommit. Now, there has to be a recommitment or a renewal in our lives, don't we? Because sometimes we get kind of stressed out, or we get kind of sidetracked in what we do for the Lord. It's a lot easier sometimes for us to dwell on other things that we know we need to do that is required of us. Of course, God requires many things of us as well. But we need to follow Him rather than the world or the other things that wants to rob our time along with Him. And then Psalms 119, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. See, liberty is opposite of bondage. See, liberty means freedom. And it's not God's will that believers stay in the bondage of sin. Okay? It's not. See, Israel was delivered from Egypt, from bondage. And that's a spiritual bondage as well, that they suffered as well. Oftentimes, they didn't believe it could work, like the plagues and the taskmasters doubling up on the load on their work, even in the process of deliverance to the Red Sea, at the Red Sea, in the wilderness, and at the borders of the Promised Land. You see, they dealt with all of these things. Why? Why did they do what they did? Because one of Satan's goals in our lives is to convince us that we cannot break the chains of sin. That's his goal. And that we'll never break the habit, get victory, and find a better way. But there is a better way when it comes to the Word of God. See, it's true before you were saved. sin had a grip on you such in a way that you were powerless. You didn't have any power at all. And our theme this week at Vacation Bible School was what? Knowledge, strength, and power, and courage, and obedience, and all of those things. And see, we get that from the Word of God. But at salvation, Jesus broke those chains of sin. But Satan, he'll try to create illusions that still try to keep you bound. Now, this is a good illustration of that. Elephants. Oh, when they're small, let's go back. When elephants, you've seen elephants at carnivals and zoos and things like that. You ever notice when they're tied up, they got a rope and they got them tied up, they got a little stake in the ground, a little chain. That elephant, if they wanted to, could pull that right out of there. They could pull that little stake and pull it completely out of the ground because they're huge, right? They're strong, but they don't do it. You know why? Because when they're small, around 500 pounds, they have a huge chain and a huge stake driven down into the ground, and they can pull with all their might, and they cannot pull that out. That's when they're small. So as they get bigger and bigger, you see, they lose their willpower because they think they can't do it when they're huge, because it's implanted in their minds that they can't pull that stake out when they're small. And when they get large, see, it's already there in their minds and probably in their hearts as well, that they're bound. You see, we're not bound by Satan. You see, there was that big stake in the ground, and we was chained to the bondage of sin. But when we accepted Jesus Christ and met him as our personal Savior, see, he broke those chains, that bond that we had when we were not saved. But now that we're saved, there's nothing can bound us because we belong to Jesus Christ, and we belong to him, and he will not allow any of that in our lives anymore. Now, let's look at, so we can receive joy, we can receive victory, and now we can receive the nourishment. And this is where I want you to really pay attention to, and we're almost through now. Just bear with me. Psalms 119:32 says, I will run the way of your commandments. That means you're going to go full stride. You're not just going to hip-hop along. You're going to run full stride. I'm going to run the way of your commandments when you shall enlarge my heart. You know what that is? That is a picture of growth. When you run. That verse is a picture of growth. Is God enlarging the capacity of your heart for spiritual things? He can and he will, and I hope that he is. But you got to be in the Word of God. You got to be praying. See, 1 Peter chapter 2:2. As newborn babies, or babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. Okay, but you can't stay there, can you? Just on the milk. Then you got to get into the meat of the Word, and that's what I want you to do. So from milk to meat is the next step. Okay, so you don't love the meat. Just don't you love the meat of the Word? Don't you love it? You as Christians, as you've been on the road for a while, that you're seasoned in your walk with the Lord, don't you love the meat of the Word when you get into it and you understand that God is really speaking to you and showing you things in your life? Now, if you're not seeing things in your life, spiritual growth or nourishment in your life, that means you're not in the Word and the Holy Spirit is not at work in your life, and that's not going to happen until you do. So in our Wednesday Bible study, see, we talked about it when we studied from Revelation. So we we're in Revelation right now. We're going to be ending up because we're getting into chapter 21, 22. But there's so much saying things there in Revelation that teaches us about the Word of God and what He's going to be doing in the end times and things that are happening now that we need to be aware of. If we're not in the Word of God and reading Revelation, some of these books, Ezekiel and Daniel, we don't even know what's going on out in the world. We hear it on the news, and we think, well, it's just one of those things that's happening over there in another country and so forth. No, it's the prophecy foretold in the Old Testament that's happening now. And one of these days, Jesus say, it's enough. I'm coming back. And He will. And we'll rapture the church, and those unsaved will stay here and go through some terrible, terrible things. But we're studying that in Revelation about the third Jewish temple to be built during the tribulation. The red heifer and the shocking ways these meaty subjects affect the life here and now. All of that's going to take place. Now, several of you last week, after you heard the message about the armor of truth from Ephesians, how it spoke to you and how that God has opened your eyes to the Word of God. And see, that's what He does. He opens the eyes of the heart as you listen to the truth and as you grasp and as you read and as you pray. See, one characteristic of all children share is they eagerly want to grow up to either be like their brother or their sister or their mom and dad. Why would they do that? Because they see something good from them, especially if they're in the Word of God and they see them praying and going to church and so forth. And too many of our children are coming to church without parents, and we need them all here. Parents need to be here with their children so they can grow with them and be mentors and grow with them. It's very important, and I can't say that enough. And how sad it is that some people never grow up in the Word of God because they're not in the Word of God. So the need for milk is a natural instinct for babies, and it signals the desire for nourishment that will lead to growth. Now, once we see our need for God's Word and begin to find nourishment in Christ, our appetite will increase, okay? And we will start to mature. How eagerly are you for the desire for the meat of the Word? Now, I want you to examine yourself this morning. The Bible says that we are examine ourselves of sin. We need to examine ourselves and allow God to search our hearts and to point out the areas that we need to grow in the Word. So, the nourishment that we can receive as we look at God's Word every day. You see, it will then be the catalyst for real prayer life. Reading the Word of God leads to a real prayer life. Now, joy, victory, nourishment. We've talked about all that this morning. There is much to do at the Versailles Baptist Church. There's much that God wants to do through our lives. And today, in this message, I want to challenge you to fully commit yourself to go to the next level in your daily walk with God. Whether it be by using 1 year Bible or 92 day study reading out of the New Testament, prayer life, you know, as you read, you mark your Bible as a bookmark, use a bookmark or whatever you want to, and then you stick to it. You got to stick to it. See, if you do that, who will commit reading God's Word every day? Who will commit to that this morning? Either commit or recommit reading God's Word. Praying. I cannot say that enough as your pastor. I read something real shocking, and it shocked me that Barna, the Barna, George Barna group, they do surveys and things, not only churches, but on pastors and everything. And the survey showed that 20% of pastors spend less than 30 minutes a day reading and studying the Word of God. That just blows my mind. Now, if we need to be an inspiration to you and study. And that's what I want to be. Because I tell you, I cannot read enough and study enough. My nose and head is in the Word of God. Hours and hours. It's because I have a heart for wanting to know more. If I don't know it, I can't lift you any higher, can I? We can't lift anybody higher than where we are spiritually if we're not into the Word of God, if we're not praying. But God wants us to be, and you can be. If you'll commit or recommit, God is going to bless you tremendously. Let us pray. Our Father, God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessing we've already witnessed. And Lord, we just thank you in advance what you're going to do during the invitation today. If anyone here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, today is the day of salvation, you tell us in your word. They can know you personally, and they can have eternal life today. And they can grow. All of us can grow if we get into the word. Get into the meat of the word. Read it, study it, and pray. Oh, what miracles you'll do in our lives if we'll do that. Lord, use this invitation for your honor and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand, 341. Is that the invitation, 341? Let us stand as we sing. I'll be here at the front. We'll talk with you, pray with you, whatever God is leading you to do. Do it right now as we sing.